Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We recently talked briefly about the intersection of crowds, ley lines, monument worship, sinister altars, and occult sun-worshipping dates, specifically the summer solstice known as Litha. The 4th of July is a federally recognized holiday in the United States commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. The Bavarian Perfectibilists were created in the same year, 1776. You might know them by the name the Illuminati. The first few days of July are also known to be recognized as a New Year's Day by some more private groups. July 1st is the cross quarter and the beginning of a fiscal year. We're hearing about the federal budget hang-ups right now, accompanied by images of the New Jersey governor at the beach. We listen back to key past interviews with guest occult researcher and author Matthew Deleuze, who, when visiting Egypt, discovered an ancient painting in the temple of the goddess Hathor, also known as the Temple of Dendera, that looked like the flag of the United States. Matthew found out the people in this ancient culture were also led by their Egyptian hierarchy to celebrate the 4th of July. He discovered something very interesting: the stars and stripes, an all-seeing eye, and the celebration of July 4th in ancient Egypt. Many researchers of this realm know that religions simply put their calendar template over existing occult holidays. Well, Matthew's message is clear. He says, as humans, we've surrendered our power to monuments, and through universal law, we've agreed to be a slave in this world. How can this happen, you ask? We've gone into depth on this show about the realm of subtle energy, positive orgone energy, deadly orgone radiation, and the measuring of intention, along with the effects that intention has in this physical reality on the quantum level. Cynthia Sue Larson, author of the book Reality Shifts, How Consciousness Changes the Physical World, went into that topic in an interview earlier this year. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. Imagine the power of intention cast by millions who are inadvertently directing their mass consciousness onto ancient occult monuments masquerading as symbols of freedom. A perfect cover, you say. Well, Matthew Deleuze thinks so. He says, we're now robotically programmed to carry out and spiritually interact not only with the 4th of July holiday, but we're forced to willingly participate during other holy days or holidays, such as Ishtar or Easter, Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve, to name a few. Matthew says, there's a reason why people are conned into worshiping and giving up their energy, because if they knew what they were really worshiping, they wouldn't do it. How is this any different from idolatry? Not much has changed in using ancient Egyptian tactics of harvesting and manipulating the spiritual energy. Most of us who carry and frequently use a personal digital communication device already know how easy it was for people to be manipulated on a mass scale. Northern Californians right now can't seem to effectively fight against a policy that will allow for thousands of 5G cell towers to be installed on street lamps and trees in their small town. For what? So you can stream video instead of texting, or both? Our current interface with personal mobile communication devices sends a clear message to the corporate business mind, which could be translated into, please, please put a chip in me. Before we get into this interview, I want to mention that the quality of this audio isn't that great. It was the clearest connection I could get at that time. Sadly, our phone call was repeatedly disconnected, and at times, the local Disney radio station started to bleed in. That, with Matthew's accent, makes for a challenging listen. But please, do listen carefully. To some, this interview is a bitter red pill. In past shows, we've discussed in depth the energy ley line grid of New York City and how it connects to the wider region of Eastern North America. We've also talked about how certain Freemason groups will perform a ritual at the base of the ley lines. These annual events hold significant importance and are often ignored. Our guest today is author and occult researcher Matthew Deluz. He unlocks the hidden connections to energy ley lines, Freemasons, and the ancient Egyptian holiday known as the 4th of July. Matthew explains that while visiting the Temple of Hathor in Dendera, Egypt, he noticed an ancient painting with an unusual likeness to the United States flag. Have we all been tricked into worshiping an ancient goddess placed on a sun temple for the 4th of July? Matthew Deluz is a returning guest. He joins us to explain that concept and much more. Matthew's work can be found at matthewdeluz.com. He's the author of 3 books, You'll Be Wiser When You're Older, The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We Are Enslaved by the Serpent, and Is It Me for a Moment, Breaking the Serpent's Spell. Matthew Deluz, welcome back to Another News.
I'm glad you've got me back on, Jeff. I appreciate it very much.
It's great to have you on. One of the reasons why is our last interview, you discussed in detail the occult significance of Ferris wheels, and it was in the context of the New York mayor announcing that the world's tallest Ferris wheel would be placed on the Staten Island waterfront, about 620 feet high. That wheel would be expected to open about 2 or 3 years from now. And this is exactly what you write about and had written about in your 2008 article, Spitting Out the Feathers of the Bennu Bird. You pointed out these Ferris wheels are appearing in many locations around the world, and they're notoriously uneconomical. You give an example of the London Eye losing 25 million pounds a year. And you point out in detail, why is this happening? You say a Ferris wheel in these locations basically turns the area into a sun temple, and whatever monuments or buildings in the area also become part of that temple. Well, to further describe the setting during the week of the 4th of July here in this New York area, our last guest, Peter Shampoo, had pointed out to us, and he talks about ley lines, that there's a ley line nexus in the New York Harbor. That's where a lot of important ley lines, energy lines, converge. And it's right next to the Statue of Liberty. On the surface, you have the visual broadcast of this event into homes, boats in the harbor. But Matthew, can you tell listeners what's really going on here?
Yeah, I certainly will try to, Jeff. I've found over the last 15 years, through personal pain and stuff like that, that sometimes people are so programmed in their beliefs and so programmed by their traditions that they put a barrier up and they refuse to accept anything, any alternative sort of viewpoint. I believe the 4th of July is one of the most important events on the planet. I think it's very important in the occult world. I think the human race is controlled by secret societies and their masters. To get this sort of information across through the barriers that people have, personal barriers that people have and their conditioning, their education, their traditions, and their emotional attachment to it is very difficult. So before I start to try and explain what I think the 4th of July is all about, I want to get that point across. I am not here to upset anybody. I am just putting a point of view across. Yes, if we go back to the last interview, we talked about energy lines and we talked about covert monuments representing occult figures. I talked about energy being extracted outward through energy lines and into the monument and then feeding somebody else. It's a very deep subject. What I want to get across tonight, not knowing the short time we have together, is stuff about the 4th of July. The American people and other people around the world are very attached to their Statue of Liberty, and they're very attached to the Stars and Stripes flag. And there's nothing wrong with that if we take the official version of history into account. There's nothing wrong with loving the flag of the country you live in, and there's nothing wrong with liking the monuments that are displayed in your country. The only problem that could occur on that situation is if the flag that you're taught to worship and the monuments you applaud several times a year are not what they are told they are. Everything's hunky-dory if everything is, everybody tells the truth about history. My findings are that history's a load of lies. So getting a point across about the 4th of July is going to be very difficult. I believe the 4th of July is an occult ceremony. And it's not based on anything to do with the great people of America that fought in wars or anything like that to keep the country free, or their version of it being free. It's nothing to do with that. That's just been implanted in people's minds to get them to be emotionally attached to the actual occasion of the 4th of July. To explain what I mean, I'd like to take you to a place in Egypt called the Temple of Dendera. I visited the Temple of Dendera in 2005. First thing that struck me was a painting on the wall showing Egyptian deities. I won't go into detail of the deities because we haven't the time, but it was showing the details of a deity known as Hathor, which is a goddess. And above this picture on the wall was basically the Stars and Stripes. I immediately thought of the Stars and Stripes. I'm going to put this on my website for people, for listeners to come and have a look at if they don't believe what I'm saying. And apart from that, in Dendera, I looked into it, and I found out that one of the major celebrations in the Temple of Dendera was what's known as the New Year, the ancient New Year. But the ancient New Year wasn't January 1st like we celebrate it. It was around the 4th of July. It was on the 4th of July. And the reason it was on the 4th of July is because it links up with sun worship through worshipping the Sirius star, the sun, the Sirius sun. And the ancient Egyptians worshipped the appearance of the sun work that they were worshipping the sun, because it was at the time when the Nile, the river as it was known then, was at the highest level. So everybody celebrated because they knew they weren't going to starve and everything was going to be hunky-dory for them. But they didn't just go out and worship Sirius. They worshipped Sirius through the goddess Isis or Hathor, which are the same goddess really. Now, I'm suggesting tonight to all Americans, especially you in New York, that's facing this monument every day, the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty actually is a goddess representation. And it's exactly the same as what they used to do in ancient Egypt, and they used to worship Sirius through a statue of a goddess, Isis or Hathor, the same one. I believe that the American people have been duped on a massive scale to carry out the same sort of worship through a goddess statue as they did in the Temple of Dendera, because in the Temple of Dendera, they actually wheeled a statue out of a goddess on the 4th of July, or roughly speaking, and they literally worshipped the sun by worshipping the statue of Isis Hathor. So when I saw this, and I saw the Stars and Stripes on the wall as well, I thought, hey, up. Oh, this is ringing too much of a bell to me. So that's why I'm suggesting to you people in America tonight that the same occult ceremony is going on a massive scale in America as it did in ancient Egypt. It's the same occult ceremony. The Statue of Liberty is basically a goddess that stood on top of the temple, because that's what the base of the Statue of Liberty is, as we went through the last time Jeff had me on.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a temple. And basically, everybody's worshipping and focusing their energy on that statue on the 4th of July, exactly the same as they did in ancient Egypt. And all it was, all the statue is a middleman to worship the sun, in this case, the earth. We've talked about energy, human energy. The one thing we can all agree on, I think, is that all humans create emotional energy. We are all sparked off to feel emotional about something. And let's face it.
I agree. One of the currencies in this exchange is human energy, human emotional energy, and that's the essence of most types of magic. But Matthew, is this a fair exchange to an unwitting participant?
Well, no, it's a contract. It's a contract. What's happening to make us join in with these ceremonies? And I'm not just talking about the 4th of July. I'm talking about ceremonies all year round, Christmas, Easter. I'm talking about all these ceremonies that we're told to join into.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally programmed to do so. We've been programmed from birth, especially Americans over the 4th of July. I can only repeat myself and say, because the stars and stripes are on the walls of the temples in Egypt, and they had ceremonies on the 4th of July to celebrate the sun worship of Sirius, what I'm saying is it's just a massive copy of that ceremony. In the ancient times, in them temples, when the Egyptian hierarchy carried out these ceremonies, it fed the pharaohs, the kings, and everybody involved to continue to rule the poor people of the land. I believe that that's why the ceremonies go on the 4th of July in America on a similar basis. So every time we carry out these ceremonies, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, we are simply spiritually empowering the people that have conned us into carrying out these ceremonies. And that is why we are programmed, so robotically carrying them out. Because it is vital to these people that we carry out these ceremonies for them to continue to control us and keep us in prison and chains. Not only that, on a higher, deeper level, when we do carry out these ceremonies, we are feeding the masters of the secret societies. In my opinion, these masters of secret societies are alien to this world. They're a different force. They cannot show themselves in this world because we would not worship them. They have to con us into worshipping them because we would not worship them if we knew their true identity. So they use their middlemen, they use their Obamas, they use the Queens of England, they use all the royalty and elite simply to rule us. As I will reiterate, that Dendera used to place a statue on the roof of the temple, and they used to worship Sirius, the sun, through the statue on the roof of the temple. It is an exact replica going on in New York every 4th of July. It cannot be a coincidence. You cannot have a statue of Isis placed on the Temple of Dendera on the 4th of July in ancient times and have a mass collective consciousness concentrating on a statue that stood on top of a temple in New York thousands of years later. It is planned. It is not a coincidence. It is definitely planned by the secret societies that control our lives on a daily basis. And I believe these secret societies that control our lives on a daily basis are serving forces that we are not knowledgeable about. We cannot see them, we cannot contact them, we cannot argue with them, we cannot say what you're doing to our planet. It's all forced on us through education, through programming, through making us feel emotionally tied to something we have no clue about by making up stories about why they're there, e.g. the Stars and Stripes and the Statue of Liberty. And it goes on and on and on and on. I'd like to point out also that it's not just New York that celebrate the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
This scam is not just going on in New York City through the Statue of Liberty,
mm-hmm.
although the entire country is connected to the Statue of Liberty. It is the central point. It is the statue on top of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But in other towns and cities around America and around the world, really, It's not just Americans celebrate the 4th of July. People, please watch your TVs on 4th of July or record what's happening in Chicago, record what's happening in Philadelphia, record what's happening all over the country in the major cities, and notice where the celebrations are concentrated. But I've researched these things so much. I'll guarantee that there'll be parties at the Washington Monument, there'll be parties at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and the museum in Chicago where Obama was celebrating his victory. There will be massive 4th of July parties there. There'll be fireworks, there'll be celebrities. It'll be Macy's all over the entire country. And that's because the secret society and their masters want the entire country to join in what is an ancient ritual to bring in Sirius, the sun. It's a sun worship ritual. The American people have been duped beyond belief over this situation. They've been attached to the Stars and Stripes, which is from the Temple of Dendera. It has nothing to do with the United States. It's a contract. You've been told to worship a flag that belongs in an Egyptian sun temple. Please believe me on that. You've also been told to worship a statue that's nothing to do with the people of America that struggled, that's gone through the depressions and starved. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with worshipping a middle goddess for alien forces. And it's just a massive country. As I said, don't take my word for it. Watch your TV screen. Remove your blinkers. Remove your programming about the 4th of July. Forget about all the history about the flag and the Statue of Liberty. Just open your eyes and watch what the people are being forced to do. Although willingly, and because they've been told to party and they can enjoy themselves. But I can assure you as well that this force that programmed us to party when they want us to party do not really want you to party. They only want you to party when it serves them, when they are serving their masters, when they want you to get on your knees and celebrate and worship the sun, because that is what you're doing on the 4th of July. That is my opinion anyway.
Well, Matthew, thank you for giving us that detailed description of what's going on behind the scenes during these events that are occurring not only in the United States, but all over the world. And you trace it back to ancient Egypt. Some of our past guests have done the same, but not quite in the direction you've gone. Like most of your work, you have a very unique approach and take on what's happening around us. You've been writing quite a bit extensively. One of your last articles is titled, "Go, Swim in the Pool of Siloam." It's a long article, and it's full of twists and turns. Can you tell listeners what you're writing about there?
Well, yeah, basically, Jeff, it's exactly the same principle as the 4th of July in America. The secret societies that control it and their masters carry out ancient ceremonies, ancient celebrations, ancient sacrifices that was carried out centuries ago. Obviously, they can't do the same in modern times as they did in ancient times. In ancient times, they just used to sacrifice people right in front of everybody. They used to carry out the ceremonies right in front of everybody. Nobody could do anything about it because of the power. As an extra example of that, I'd say anybody that's into the Christian religion or other religions will realise that ceremonies went on like Herod killing the firstborn child. Stuff like that went on in the open. It wasn't hidden. These days they have to hide things. Or they have to do them symbolically. And that's what's going on in Israel. Thousands of years.
Well, that's very interesting, Matthew, that you point out how it has to be hidden, because maybe in this modern society there are more people, and if they knew what was really going on, they would try to stop it.
They're giving us the illusion that we're free. But we're not free. We're more in prison now than we've ever been. It's just that we globally deluded that we have freedom and we have rights. It's becoming perfectly clear in this day and age that we have no freedom, we have no right. If you've got freedom and right, please show me how. Because I'm sat in a so-called free country at the moment, and I assure you I have no freedom whatsoever. I know we haven't got much time yet. I'd like to just briefly mention my article. Basically, what I'm saying in that article is the Holocaust. An Holocaust means sacrifice by fire, nothing else. Is that massive sacrifice was hidden in Second World War. It's now being reenacted in Jerusalem through a museum known as Yad Vashem. Every day, those sacrifices are reenacted in what I'd say was a temple. And the emotions of the people that visited this place are reacting as though that sacrifice is taking place today. It's another case of a replica ceremony. In this case, it's a replica sacrifice. And that sacrifices are needed in present-day form to satisfy the secret societies, ceremonies and occult practices today. And that's all that's going on there. So similar to the 4th of July celebration, repeating a ceremony from ancient Egypt, the actual event in Yad Vashem in Jerusalem today are recreating the Holocaust, a sacrifice by fire of millions of people. I'll repeat that. I believe that modern-day reenactments of sacrificial events, namely the Holocaust in Second World War, are being reenacted in a modern-day temple, posing as a museum, because most museums today are posing as the ancient temples. It's basically a reenactment of what went on in World War II. To be blunt and cruel as it may sound, Hitler was working for the secret societies in the Second World War. And part of that agenda, hidden within the Second World War, was to carry out occult sacrifices. That's all the Holocaust could ever be. It could only ever be an occult sacrifice. It cannot be anything else. And the reason it was done in the 1930s and 40s was because the secret societies and their masters always plan things in advance. They've got access to knowledge and understanding that we haven't got, and they know what to do in the future. They know what needs to be done in the future. So, obviously, to people out there, me suggesting that the Holocaust in the 1930s and 40s was really meant to have an effect in 2016 onwards sounds absolutely ridiculous. But let's face it, they could not get away with doing what they did in the 1930s and 40s at this present time. And this is the time that the sacrifices need to be made. So all they needed to do, because they're operating on a very high level of intelligence, all they needed to do was sacrifice the people 60 years ago or whenever, and then reenact it in the day they want the sacrifice to take effect. You walk through any Holocaust museum, especially the massive one in Jerusalem called Yad Vashem, and you are literally reenacting the Holocaust. The emotional energy in these places is fantastic. And I'd like to point out, what is the most replayed information in the last 40, 50 years on the TVs and the pictures? It's all about Hitler and the war. It's always implanted in people's heads every single week of the year. It's on the TV non-stop. You can go on History Channel, you can go on any channel you want, and Hitler and the Holocaust is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. That's simply because it's got to stay in the collective consciousness. It's never left our consciousness. We're always aware the Nazis sacrificed the Jews and burnt them. And all that is because basically what you have in Jerusalem now at Yad Vashem, it's not, they're not actually sacrificing them now, but they like playing a repeat. It's a company, and so therefore the emotion involved are genuine. It's just like the sacrifices are happening now, because they're continually putting our minds. I know it sounds cruel, but that's what's going on. And that's what's going on in Jerusalem. They're just recreating the sacrifices. And the emotions of the world are always connected to it. I hope you can understand what I'm saying on that. It's very difficult to get across in just a few minutes.
What solutions would you suggest to protect yourself, maybe psychically, from this type of energy extraction?
Well, at this stage of the world, as I see it, the main thing you can do is simply start to look at things in a different light. I have no fears in this world whatsoever. None. I don't fear anything. And that's simply because I've learned to trust my intuition. I've learned to look at things without being following the programming that I've been educated with as a child. I'm completely rid of any program. And I listen to things as they are presented and as I see them. Even though I feel under attack a lot psychically, I brush it off. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. 15 years ago, I was a man that was scared of everything. Today, I look forward to death. It means nothing to me because I know we're all immortal. But this world needs a lot of energy coming into it to change the path it's on. And the only thing, the only way we can do that, in my opinion, is through truth and believing your own intuition and your own heart.
We often talk about that specific thing here on the show, and we've had a number of guests on to discuss ways to tune in a little more to paying attention to that voice, that intuitive voice.
Yes, as far as the force of life is concerned, just look what's actually going on. Look what the people are doing. Look what we stood around. Look what we're celebrating around. It's on a par with the ancient times where they were dancing around golden idols. It doesn't change whatsoever. The same deceptive forces in this world are completely deceiving the human race. Because the human race sees enjoyment and excitement, they're failing to see what's actually going on because of their own enjoyment.
Matthew Deluz, thank you so much again for being back on the show and detailing what's really going on in our midst. It's not easy to grasp for various reasons, but I really appreciate you having the courage and determination to continue to get this important information out.
You're always welcome, Jeff. You know that, mate. Anytime you want me on. I know it's difficult to get stuff across in short space of time.
That was a special rebroadcast of an interview with Matthew Deluz. We now hear part of another earlier interview with Matthew. The audio is more clear. And we're talking about his research into Ferris wheels. This is an area of research that very few talk about. Some programs discuss the topic of ley lines and structure placement as mysterious and intriguing without going into the topic of human energy fleecing. Let's have a listen.
It amazes me that in a time of world recession, war, chaos all over the planet, that some people somewhere can come up with $500 million to build a fairground ride.
Well, Matthew, let me stop you there because I'm glad you brought that up. You had pointed out in one of your articles that the London Eye loses almost 25 million pounds a year. And I was looking around just some articles on the Staten Island wheel. Private funds, $480 million of the $960 million project is privately funded. But there was an article that said it's going to be an economic draw to the area. What do you think about that?
Well, it's all propaganda as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how much extra income is it going to fetch into New York, a fairground wheel? You know, the people that go and visit New York, go and visit New York anywhere. They go and see your Statue of Liberty and all this caper, don't they? It's not going to, I don't think it's going to make a massive, people around the globe are not going to flock to New York City just to see a Ferris wheel. In fact, they're in major cities all over the world anyway. Now, in 2012, my own opinion is, before we go into details of it, is that the Ferris wheels are put there as a symbolic happening, a symbolic statue. Even though it's presented as a gimmick and a novelty and something to go on and have a ride on, it is basically an occult monument. It's on a par with an obelisk. That's what I want to point out to you. If you go into the history of the Ferris wheel, it is literally named after George Washington. The man who created the modern-day Ferris wheel was called George Washington Gale Ferris. So symbolically, the Ferris wheel is a Washington monument anyway, similar to the obelisk you've got in New York. If you trace back to how it was brought into being, then you're going back on similar to what we talked about last time about the Statue of Liberty, is the Ferris wheel was put into the public eye at a world fair. In this case, the Chicago World Fair in 1893. But if you delve deeper into its past and how it was created, then you find out that it's absolutely Masonic. The World Fair was created, designed and built by a man called Daniel Hudson Burnham, which Americans probably heard of far more than people in England. He was a high-ranking Mason. And he put a challenge out to the American people to create a structure, I'll quote him, a structure of comparable ingenuity and novelty. That means a thing that can mean an ambiguous structure. George Washington Gale Ferris come along with a Ferris wheel, and that was snapped up to be used in the Chicago World Fair. When you look into the history of Daniel Burnham as well, as far as New York's concerned, he was a creator of Masonic temples in America, especially in Chicago. He's also responsible for what I believe is a covert Masonic temple in New York, which I think you call it the Flatiron Building.
Yes.
But in my opinion, that was used as a covert Masonic temple, especially the higher floors, when it was first built. If people in New York want to have a look into that, they'll see that it's a pyramid, and obviously in a different way to the normal pyramid, but it's still a pyramid. The flat iron shape is a pyramid, and it was used as a covert temple. I don't want to go down that path, I just wanted to point that out.
Okay.
But the basic geometry of the Ferris wheel, if you look them straight on in the face, you'll see the massive sun disk is a circular wheel, and then you'll see like a Ben pyramid shape at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I suspect a number of listeners are not familiar with what the Ben is, and if we can go on a quick tangent with that, Matthew.
If you look at a modern-day Ferris wheel on straight on, you'll see that it goes a massive circular disk, and basically a Ben shape. The Ben shape is a pyramid shape, the axis of what the wheel travels round on. Well, on a 5-cent level, obviously, to the average bloke in the street that's not interested in the Illuminati or secret societies or anything like that, it means nothing. It's just the shape of a Ferris wheel. But this shape is sacred geometry. It links back to the days of creation. The world was once said to be, even in the Bible, the Genesis, that let there be light. It was just a watery mess, a chaos. This is what the Freemasons use all their philosophy on and the symbolism. And what they've done with the Ferris wheel is they've put creation symbolism within the structure of the bit of the Ferris wheel itself. So what you're actually looking at on a symbolic level, on an higher level of understanding, is basically a map of what the Masons believe creation is all about. Things being created out of chaos. If you imagine a chaos as a dark, watery surface, then you imagine the first stone coming out of the water, which the ancient Egyptians did, which obviously the Masons go off, and you imagine the light being created on the top of this Benben stone, which represents the earth, then what you've got is ancient creation symbolism personified in the Ferris wheel, because the Ferris wheels are usually built or erected near water. The London Eye is built on the River Thames, you know. The one in Paris is built on next to a lake at the back of it. They always place them on or near water, or they put artificial water near them.
You're absolutely right, Matthew. I was looking on a few maps, and a number of the Ferris wheels, some of them movable, were located right near water, a riverway.
Because that is creation. You create it out of water. The Benben stone, the axle of the Ferris wheel itself represents the stone, that's earth, and then the disc around the Benben represents the sun. So you've got the creation out of water of the earth and the sun. And that's what the Freemasons are doing all around the planet now, the secret societies. They're implanting this symbolism, in my opinion, all around the globe. They're leading up to a date when they have a better idea of than we have. It'll be a complete combination of these symbols all around the planet. I believe the modern day started off at the millennium, 1999, during the winter solstices, where the first modern Ferris wheels we see happening today were created in London and Paris, on linking up an energy line there. Obviously, over the years, since the millennium, they've been built all over the planet. And I believe they're going to connect up and create a similar energy line to what we were talking about with the Statue of Liberty sort of thing and the rock and all this caper.
I think you're right on with this, and in line with our past guest's analysis of the ley line and the ley line nexus in the harbor, which I suspected was the Statue of Liberty. If you can go a little further into some of your research on Ferris wheels, specifically about how spiritual or human emotional energy is being fleeced.
Well, let's go into the Christian side of things, because it's very easy to explain. If you go in a normal Christian church, and I'm not picking on the Christian religion, I'm talking about all religions. If you go into a Christian church, you usually see a cross on the altar in front of the building. And what you get is you get your people in your church going in every Sunday, thinking they're doing a good thing, obviously. They're going in there, and basically they're praising in that building towards the symbol on the altar. Well, all the Ferris wheels are there for, mainly, talking from this point of view, is they will be used to get people to gather around them at certain events of the year. And they will be used literally as an altar place. And they are literally showing creation symbolism. And what happens is, New Year's Eve and parties or July the 4th in America in the future, there'll be thousands and thousands of people that will gather at these Ferris wheels. I've spent, I'm not talking from my armchair, about these things. I have been all over Europe over the last 10 years when I could. I've been to Amsterdam, I've been to Berlin, Brussels, I've been to Antwerp, I've been to many, many cities in Europe on New Year's Eve. And surprise, surprise, they wheel a Ferris wheel out for the New Year celebrations. Just recently, a couple of years ago, I was at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. Sorry. They wheeled out a brand new Ferris wheel there, massive, just behind the Brandenburg Gate, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people cheering away right in front of the Ferris wheel, because symbolically, the Ferris wheel is an altar, and it represents creation. So therefore, when they're having these mass rituals like New Year's Eve, and they're getting people to go and celebrate in front of them, they are actually praising the symbolism in front of them. Now, because it's creation symbolism, all the people are doing when they're praising and cheering in front of it on a spiritual level is saying they want to have the same creation happen again. Creation symbol is also it's not just a sign of creation, it's a sign of an end of an age. It's a recreation as well. It's a rebirth. So what I believe spiritually goes on when people are attracted to these Ferris wheels at certain events of the year, they're actually praying for a new age, a new way, a new world. What I believe happens on a spiritual level, I know we're rushing into things here, but what I believe happens on a spiritual level is if the collective consciousness of the human race all prays something they want to happen, then universal law will make it happen. So on a deeper level, if the human race worship in front of these monuments, then the people that created the monuments get to rule us. This is the scam. I might be going a bit too deep there, yeah, Jeff, but this is the scam that's happening on the planet at the very moment in time.
I think it's okay to go in this direction right now, because a lot of the listeners to the show may remember you being on before, and we have followed up on that thread since you were on the show, because it is really deep material. You had pointed out as well that this energy, human energy, would natural cycle back into and feed the planet Earth, but there's a middleman siphoning it off.
Exactly, the creators of the symbolism. The best way to explain it, which is I do at my talks, when I do my talks, is to imagine how you can extract energy off people using using a monument or a structure on a spiritual level. I always explain to the people at the talks that if I had painted a beautiful picture and I stuck it on a stage and had 10,000 people watching me on the stage with this beautiful picture that I've painted, and all these 10,000 people cheered and loved my painting, then I would get their energy. I would feed off their energy because they love my painting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is what happens on a spiritual level. If some secret society puts their symbolism in front of you, and you say, oh, that's beautiful, I love this, so let's go and dance around it, then they will get the energy from you using the artwork that they've put in front of you. And this is what's that. It's so simple when you work it out and you start thinking about things and you see what's going on in the world.
I think the trouble people might have, Matthew, is the invisibility of it. They can't see it.
Well, it's like, you know, like when people throw that at me, and you know, I get a lot of people do so. Then I say to him, "Well, how do you? When you've got, I've got a phone in my hand now. It's a mobile phone. It's no cord on it, Jeff. And you're talking to me from thousands of miles away, and yet your voice is invisible between this thing I've got in my hand." I always say this about Ferris wheels as well. I mean, you can see you've got a secret society that's using technology we haven't even got comprehended. Yet it's so simple to point out to people about invisible energies, as you mentioned, that what about the mobile masts that do your mobile phone calls? What's the difference? Where, how can you see the energy going between them?
Right. I'm glad you brought up the secret societies and the way they move monuments around. As you pointed out, they move the London Bridge. You pointed out in past interview that you suspect the Statue of Liberty is built with certain kind of metal. It was built a certain way and near a ley line nexus in the harbor. They were done for specific reasons using systems and technology that is really out of the public domain.
That's been the case since day one. Every invention is brought into the public domain is not used to help the public. It's to help secret societies carry out their agenda. They would leave us living in caves. They don't want us to have technology. The only reason we get all the technology is because they've got higher technology than that, and they want to use both together.
Oh, indeed. To propose and seal a development deal like this here in the city, of a Ferris wheel that people are obviously upset about because of the comments. You just look at the comments in some of the articles.
Yeah.
They're saying waste of time, waste of money. Why do we need some amusement ride for 1,400 people to ride on?
I've tried to get this across as best as I can for the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
The the people in your truth movement. I'm calling the truth movement a lie movement, because the truth movement at the present moment in time is more interested in having celebrities dancing around on stages and getting money brought in. We're not being told the truth, we're being sold the truth. And the people in the truth movement now, they're not interested in giving you the truth, they're interested in selling you the truth. You know? These things about Ferris wheels, I put it in the public domain 10 years ago. Nobody has picked up on it, even though they've increased and increased and increased. I think the Ferris wheel information, now it's starting to come in New York City itself and places like that, then somebody has to listen somewhere. Because the people behind this, the billionaires that's living lives of luxury while the people are starving in the street, they're putting these monuments out on right in front of your faces. And it's about time we actually go off as arses and I started asking the people that are doing these things questions. Because unless we do, we're going to be the same lie movement we are in 2012, in 2016. Because at the present moment in time, the lie movement, as I call it these days, are a bunch of cowards that are just up and down praising one or two people. I'm sorry if I'm getting passionate about this, but believe you me, I've gone through a lot of things in the last few months. People of New York City, let's start asking the money men, well, why are they building such, you know, as you say. And let's start really questioning them instead of running away and hiding. And let's get the people that's actually got a voice in the truth movement to pick up on it as well. Let the people that's got a voice in the truth movement actually ask these questions instead of just ignoring them. Forget that Matthew Deluge mentioned Ferris wheels. Let's pretend David Icke said it, or Alex Jones. Let's pretend some superstar in the truth movement said it. And then we can all run behind and back it up and hang on their shirt tails. Because that's what the truth movement's turning into. Hanging on the shirt tails of celebrities. And that is not the truth that I think is coming to this planet if the people want it to come there.
One of the reasons why I like your work is because it's coming from the heart. It's coming from a spiritual place where it is a revelation that you had in your life, an awakening, a moment of awakening to see past the illusion of the amusement park or the entertainment. There's a lot of exchange of energy going on around us, and billionaires and these other sources of money are the gatekeepers of something.
Yes, of course, mate. I agree, totally.
Listeners, Matthew is the author of 3 books. You'll be wiser when you're older. The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We're Enslaved by the Serpent, and Is It Me for a Moment, Breaking the Serpent's Spell. Matthew has also written a lot of articles, and you can find the books and articles on his website. Matthew, can you give out your website, please?
I'm not out to sell any books or anything. If people type my name in and have a look around the internet, if they want to look now, just type my name in and they'll find something. I have a blog up that's got a few articles on, and there's a few people that's been kind enough to put my articles on the website. But I can only recommend you search for things, and if you want to know about Ferris wheels, then type Matthew Dilley's Ferris wheels into Google and see what comes up.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm in that situation at the moment. As I say, we're hoping to get One Ball Media up by the end of the year, which will be fully maintained and stuff.
That would be wonderful to have. And you've been attacked in the past. Your research has been stolen by people, but you know, it all comes back to you. You are one of the first people to research this area in depth, and I certainly haven't forgotten that. But it's also a little unsettling for the future of human beings and generations to come, especially in the situation that we're in. I look at it as a long range for generations to learn, because I don't see anyone dispersing secret societies, moving these giant monoliths, changing things around anytime soon.
I don't know how it's going to change, but it's not going to change unless people start asking questions themselves and asking within themselves what's actually going on. 980 million projects going on in New York. This is not staged alien invasion fantasy. This is fact right in front of your faces. Let's question the Freemasons. Let's say what you're putting these monuments here. Let's look into it. Let's just go off the basic Freemasonic information I've provided about the Ferris wheels. That is not delusional fantasy of some paranoid schizophrenic. This is fact, 5 cents fact. The Freemasons on this planet that created the Ferris wheel in the first place are plonking them everywhere all over the planet. Let's go into them, let's question them. Let somebody mainstream pick it up. It's not fantasy. It's not delusion. They're right there in front of your face. Let's tell the homeless that they can't have a home because some rich people are going to build a Ferris wheel on an island. And let's go down that path. That's not fantasy, is it, Jeff? It's right in front of the faces.
Indeed.
The first major Ferris wheel that was presented to the world eye, or the world mind, was the London Eye, which was placed at the River Thames. That was named the British Airways London Eye, the bar. Now, in Freemasonic terms, the bar is a soul. So what you had in London in 1999, the millennium, same as Paris, is the eye of the soul. The eye of the soul. And from that eye of the soul, they've created an energy line by linking up the Ferris wheels all around the globe. They use different symbolism for different cities. Plus, not only that, Jeff, when they illuminate these Ferris wheels, the lighting systems they have these days, they can put any occult logo on the wheel and flash it away to everybody that's watching it. That's why they use them at Super Bowl and things like that in America, because the millions of people are focusing on that thing. And what the major point of having these Ferris wheels is to impregnate into the collective mind the creation symbolism, simply because the Freemasons and the serpent cult are above the Freemasons. Freemasons are only a small part of it. But what the point is they want to get into the collective mind of the people on the planet that a new world is coming, a change, a new age is coming. And they want it to be the same as it was in the last age. All they're doing is renewing their power over us and our enslavement.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday.